Welcome. My guest, Dr. Jason Newman, is here with us to discuss Tumor Glow, an investigational imaging technique that employs glowing dyes to better define the margin between tumors and normal tissue under near-infrared light during surgery. Director of Head and Neck Surgery at Pennsylvania Hospital of Penn Medicine, Dr. Newman is currently involved in clinical studies of Tumor Glow. Dr. Newman, it's such a pleasure to have you with us today to discuss this exciting technology. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with Tumor Glow?
The dye itself has been in use for a while, but really it's the mechanism of how we are using it that's allowed us to use it in the way that you just described. So we're using ICG as the main type of dye, and by injecting it into patients at a little bit of a higher dose than what we've done for other applications, and waiting a little bit longer than we're used to waiting, it seems to accumulate in these tumors to a much greater degree than in the rest of the tissue. And in this very complicated part of the body, it really makes a big difference with how capable we can be of doing accurate surgery.
How does Tumor Glow work in head and neck cancers, and how is your practice changed using it?
So it really has started to revolutionize some of what we are able to do in this part of the body. So head and neck cancers happen in a very tight space. So as much as possible, one of the biggest goals in cancer surgery is to spare as much normal tissue as possible. Now that's not a new problem, but what Tumor Glow has allowed us to do is really to more clearly attempt to identify the margins of these tumors. The tools that we normally have at our disposal are our eyes and our fingers and our hands and our tactile sensation. And so what Tumor Glow has done is it's really allowed us to add another layer of help in identifying the location and the margins of tumors. We can more accurately both remove the tumor with negative margins and spare as much normal tissue as possible.
So then, which of the head and neck cancer tumor types is near-infrared imaging most useful?
We're still at the preliminary phases of that question, but so far it seems like it's been pretty effective for almost all of the different types of cancers that we see. So the most common type of cancer that we see in the head and neck is called squamous cell cancer. For that application, we've seen that it's actually been very effective.
So then, Dr. Newman, tell us the benefits of Tumor Glow. How is it helping patients with some of these issues?
So first of all, we have had a lot of patients who have literally sought us out for this study because I think most patients realize that this is such a sensitive body part that being as accurate as possible with removal of cancers is critical. And again, this is only one of many of the techniques that we use to try to achieve that outcome. Things like swallowing and speech and even the way that we appear, our ability to socialize, our ability to interact with other people is really largely related to things that happen in the head and neck area. And unfortunately, these cancers affect all of those areas. So when we know that we can more accurately do a surgery, whether it's a surgery that we do through an incision or whether it's a surgery that we do through someone's mouth using robotics, we are now able to more confidently say that we both got around the tumor and left as much normal tissue as possible. And that really has a major impact on outcomes. So the difference between being able to swallow normally and having swallowing problems can sometimes be the question of a few millimeters of tissue or being able to spare a nerve that might be very close to a tumor. If we can confidently say that that nerve looks like it's not involved, then we can make an incision that doesn't remove the nerve. If it's a little less clear, then of course you have to err on the side of caution because removing the cancer is clearly the primary goal of the surgery.
Tumor Glow gives you more accurate markers, correct? And it makes this precision medicine that you're doing much more accurate, yes?
It does, yes. So when we look at patients who are undergoing head and neck cancer surgery, we really contend with two different parts of the surgery most often. One is the primary site, meaning the site of where the cancer derived, and the other is the lymphatics. So the other area that's been very exciting for near-infrared imaging is that it seems to be capable of helping us determine which lymph nodes have cancer in them. So we've only just started to explore this area, and so far we've had some pretty good results. We are noticing that every lymph node that has cancer in it has been found to glow using the near-infrared imaging. But what we haven't seen is false negatives, meaning lymph nodes that aren't glowing that end up being cancerous. So that's pretty exciting, because sometimes finding the abnormal lymph nodes when you're doing the neck part of the surgery can be challenging. So as a surgeon, having a little bit more of a roadmap for which lymphatic tissue is definitively abnormal is very helpful. And I think that's one of the areas that we're probably the most excited about exploring next.
So who might be a candidate then for TumorGlow? Are there some contraindications for use in patients?
So right now, there's really no major contraindications. Our protocol is written in a way that it's still a very broad application, meaning pretty much any pathology in the head and neck is still potentially amenable. We haven't found a specific tumor type that doesn't seem to glow using this dye. So right now, everything is still open. I think one of the types of patients that we're very excited about are robotic surgical candidates. You know, robotic surgery is obviously all over the place. People talk about it a lot. It's an amazing technology. But one of the things that you lose when you do robotic surgery is haptic feedback. So that's the ability to actually feel the tumor. So one of the ways that you can make up for the lack of feeling is better visualization. But now if we can add another layer of optical imaging, meaning we're able to actually see a tumor-based image that literally makes the tumor border or the entire tumor glow, that really allows you to make up for some of the lack of haptic feedback. So in a part of the body, like the back of the throat or the tongue, which don't have a lot of anatomic definition, you can imagine seeing a glowing tumor under the robotic visualization really gives you an added level of confidence, both as a surgeon as well as on the patient side, knowing that this makes you a candidate for a potentially negative margin resection. And that's really exciting.
So if a provider thinks they have a patient who may qualify for the use of TumorGlow, what's the best way to have them included in your trials?
Yes. If someone has a patient or a patient thinks that they are a candidate for this, I would absolutely encourage them to reach out to us through Penn Medicine. We are certainly enthusiastic to help. There are definitely patients that we see, and we think we have some really good options for how they can get treated by this. There's a lot of physicians who have reached out to us to ask if their patients might be candidates, and we are always happy to help and figure out if they might be a good candidate for any of our research.
Dr. Newman, as we wrap up, how do you see TumorGlow changing the future of surgery for otolaryngology? Where do you see it going in the next 10 years or so?
I really think that near-infrared imaging is really one of the next big breakthroughs in surgical medicine. It really is literally adding a whole layer of help to us as we do cancer surgery. I think we're really just at the beginning phases of this. We are currently working on near-infrared and other imaging that might be tumor-specific, meaning it might link to individual types of tumor cells, and we think that there's a lot of opportunity for identifying new drugs and new ways to image these. So I think we're just at the beginning phases of this. I'm hoping as the technology continues to move forward and our partnership both within Penn and outside of our institution continue to grow, that you'll see more and more coming out in this area. So I am really excited to both be a part of it and to watch it unfold.
Dr. Newman, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your expertise. That wraps up this episode from the experts at Penn Medicine. To refer your patient to Penn Medicine, head on over to our website at pennmedicine.org/refer for more information and to get connected with one of our providers. If you found this podcast as amazing and fascinating as I did, please share on your social media, share with other providers, and be sure not to miss all the other interesting podcasts in our library. Until next time, I'm Melanie Cole.